Hi there, it's Nikki. I wanted to take a quick minute to make sure you knew about our free on-demand copywriting training. Whether you're brand new to copywriting or you just can't seem to hit your income goals, this training is for you. You'll learn the three secrets to landing freelance copywriting work without wasting time on frustrating job bidding sites like Upwork and Fiverr or cold calling strangers. And if you've listened to any of the student stories on this podcast, this is the exact same training they all got started with. I'm talking about KK, who's making six figures working part-time and who just retired her husband to help her run the business. Stuart, who replaced his full-time salary with freelance copywriting work and then some. Stacy, who hit six figures in 6 months, her very first year as a full-time freelancer. Ashley, who landed the in-house copywriting job of her dreams. They all started with this free training, and you can get started with that same training too. Sign up right now at freecopywritingtraining.com. Welcome to the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast, where you'll get tips, tools, and training for new and aspiring copywriters, plus a few things even the established pros will want to know. My name is Nikki Krawczyk, and I've been a copywriter for more than 15 years, writing for multi-billion dollar companies down to solopreneurs and every size business in between. The Filthy Rich Writer team and I are here to teach you everything we've learned in our years in the industry so that you can craft a successful copywriting career of your own. To us, being filthy rich means having a job you love, being good at what you do, and making great money doing it. Let's dig in. Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. Hello, Kate.
Hello, hello.
And hello to our special guest today, Yoav Broom.
Hello, hello. Hi, ladies.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
We are very excited to bring you this episode and, quite frankly, to bring you Yoav, because we wanted to talk. We talk so much in the Comprehensive Copywriting Academy, really just as copywriters, about what it's like to collaborate with a designer, when you need to collaborate with a designer, how to collaborate with a designer. And look, we can tell you that every day, up and down, left and right, but perhaps an even better way to convey that is to bring in an actual designer. So we have brought our good friend Yoav, who both Kate and I have had the pleasure of working with, to give you some insight about what it's like to collaborate with a copywriter, really kind of from the designer side. So Yoav, welcome.
Hi.
So what is, and actually I was just realizing this, how did you get into design? When did you,
good question, yeah.
When did you make that career move?
So I was always creative and always into art. I was going to be an animator at some point. I was doing clay art and the wheel and everything. So, of course, I didn't follow any of those talents. I became a waiter. And then after 10 years of waitering tables, I've had enough. So I decided to do something new. And I went to a web design school, basically got my degree in web design, which you don't necessarily need. I just needed it because I didn't have any experience. I was lucky enough to have a friend at Smarter Travel, Chen, who gave me an opportunity to come to work. So that's how I actually...
I love this. I didn't know any of this.
Design career. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was actually... I never got interviewed for the job.
just brought you in off the street and said,
he literally
do
was
some
like,
stuff. Well, I'm sure at that time they needed you, right? Like that was...
Right. For Sneak Away. So it was like, it's a contractor. Yeah. Fine. Yeah.
You know what? I kind of think that was the same thing with me with Smarter Travel too. Is they brought me in as a contractor to cover somebody's maternity leave, and then she decided not to come back, and they just kept me around, and then I kept leaving and coming back.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
sneak right in.
So I literally was in school doing work for you guys, you know, for Sneak Away, not really knowing what I'm doing, but Obviously, I had the talent because
I wouldn't have known that.
I was there for 10 years.
Yeah.
So I picked, mm-hmm. I picked a good
wow.
career.
Yeah, worked out well. Worked out
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Well, and plus you had, I mean, as we know, Chen is an amazing designer and mm-hmm. you had him to guide you. And yeah, I think that's probably one of the interesting things about creative careers is you have often when you're working with an in-house team or with an agency, right. there's someone above you to kind of guide you and teach you. And it can be a big benefit for yeah. working with a team.
But I love yeah. hearing that because I would never have known that you were, that was like your first, was that your first job then as a graphic
yes.
designer?
Yes.
That's insane to me. So I feel like that's so helpful for copywriters to hear because you know what you're doing. And so even if it's your first job, right. go in with that confidence because you, sir, I would never have known that. I didn't know it for now, 10 years yeah. later, I know it.
Yeah, I agree.
I never used Photoshop before. I never, you know, I never worked with copy before. And I learned so much just from the first month I was there, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you and me both. We're probably in the same yeah. stage of our careers, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I know because you, Nikki, because you took the editorial team and turned them into a copy team, which is a completely yep. different way of writing.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, learning. I stole a couple of members, one of which was Kate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild.
So going from working in, going to web design school and then yeah. going to working with other designers and then other copywriters, were there any surprises or any, was there any culture shock?
I'm curious really to add to that too, if at your school you worked with copywriters ever, if they had talked yeah. about that at all, so that when you came to this situation, what, were you going in blind
right.
or?
Yeah. I didn't go in blind. In school, it was mostly, there was no copywriting. I don't think they had a copywriting class. Maybe they had been marketing. The marketing people might have had a class in that. But we collaborated based on some project, but it wasn't like at work, but you have to work with developers and copywriters and a project manager and, you know, your manager, the other designers. Like, it's a whole, you can't really create anything by yourself, basically. And that's what I learned.
Yeah.
Because you always need a different set of eyes to help make the best product, basically, no matter what it is. Because everything you do, it lives in a vacuum until somebody else sees it. So it's always, and you always have to be open for critiques and just changes and edits. Nothing is set in stone, basically. Like, never, and don't, mm-hmm. Don't cry over it either. Like, if somebody says something, just take it. Even if they said it in a negative way, maybe they don't know how to communicate, but you should just listen to what they're saying and make the best, try to take the good parts of it and then apply it to your design. Because I've had so many times where I was like, oh my God, I'm stuck. And then somebody said something and all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, that was the block. I just needed another angle. Mm-hmm. Taking photos for the for Sneakaway, you know, that was my job. I'm like, that's what I need to focus on right now. The rest will follow. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Well, and I think too, it's good for our copywriters to hear that, kind of in a way, it's good for our copywriters to hear that people are getting design training, but aren't necessarily working with copywriters. Because right. one of the things that we teach our writers is that to build your portfolio, go out and find designers who are at the same level of experience, so relatively new to it, and then barter work together to get pieces for your portfolios. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if Smarter Travel hadn't happened and you needed to build your portfolio, I mean, this is a supposition, so tell me if I'm wrong, but if a copywriter had come to you and said, hey, I need pieces for my portfolio, you need pieces for yours, let's work together, that would have been beneficial to you, to both.
Yes. Because I mean, if you design for yourself and you don't have any copy at all, it's really hard to come up with the copy. What I do sometimes, I'll just go on other websites and, you know, copy and paste, but you know, just for examples, but I always tell them, that's not my copy. Like, you know, we have copywriters at work and they can look it over and change it or whatever. But I do like to put something, because I have an idea, obviously. So I want to I want the copywriters to know what I was thinking of when I was using this copy. So lorem ipsum, while it's nice to have, sometimes the whole meaning mm-hmm. of the design will disappear if people don't understand what you're trying to convey. And mm-hmm. I was thinking Absolutely. for your copywriters, they can download Canva and start putting their copy into the different templates to see, to bring life to their copy, basically. Mm-hmm. A portfolio is mm-hmm. really important. People don't even look at resumes anymore. Like, they just want to know. Resumes, what I think it is they want to make sure that you were at a company for a good amount of time and you're not just jumping from one job to the next. So you know that, because then you're a good hire, basically. They also want to know that you are a team member mm-hmm. and you collaborate with people. Because if you can't work with other people, mm-hmm. you're in big trouble. it's all about collaboration.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's... Yeah. Exactly. And that's one of the things that we say, like, yes, you can download Canva and that can be, one option. But when you have that opportunity to work with right. designers, like, on top of the fact that you're building your network, which is invaluable, mm-hmm. but when you work with designers and you have truly well-designed pieces in your portfolio, even when they're spec pieces, right. it still shows to a prospective employer, prospective client, that you know how to collaborate with a designer. And the same thing for the designer. They know how to collaborate with a copywriter, and that's invaluable.
Right. Yeah. And of course, website copywriting is different than marketing writing, but whatever you focus on, you should just start looking at examples and just try. I guess I don't even know how you find designers though. School? I don't know.
We teach that.
We have a whole list of places for people to reach out okay. to, all kinds of different ways to reach out to
them. I'm a bad designer. None of my friends are designers. All my friends are lawyers.
Those are good friends to have.
Yes.
Lawyers, well, and copywriters. You have yes, copywriter exactly. friends. Yes, so that's, yes. there's that. Yeah. Yeah. So when you would collaborate with copywriters, yeah. brilliant copywriters such as yes. Kate and myself, perhaps the best. No, just kidding. What were some things that you enjoyed about collaborating? Was there anything that you didn't like or anything that worked better than other ways?
Yeah. So the way when we worked, you gave us a document with copy, and normally we would have our own time to come up with ideas. So we knew the project was X, Y, and Z. You had copy for X, Y, Z. I had, a container to hold the copy, or whatever it is. But then when we got together, it was really nice to see how it worked or didn't work and how we can make it better. Because a lot of the time, the copy may be too long. Maybe mm-hmm. there's too many characters, the character count is actually really important in copy because there's only so many letters and spaces you can fit into an ad, an email, promo, whatever it is, headline, body copy. Mm-hmm. You also want to make sure that people mm-hmm. can scan it and get the point in 3 to 4 seconds, maybe even less. I don't know, because a lot of people don't even read. They just see the headline and mm-hmm. they keep going. So mm-hmm. it's really important that they
yes,
get...
Yes, it's heartbreaking, yeah, but often true.
It's true. But you really, they need to get the idea visually and, by scanning the line, literally in less than 10 seconds. Unless it's an article or a story, that they're reading, or instructions. But normally when you go to a web page, you see the headline, you know where you are, if you want to learn more about something and you click on it, and people usually look at the pictures, and then if you look at good websites, the copy for each visual is less than a paragraph, right? It's like a couple of lines. And it's really important that you hone down the important things you want to say about the specific product in very little, not that many words, basically.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think it's, oh, go ahead, Kate. Sorry.
I was going to say, to go back to your Canva point, I feel like it's always helpful for for those character count. Cause I think people see it in a Word doc and you're in 12 point font and you don't think about the fact that the headline's going to be much larger than that. And even the body copy is going to be much larger than that. Right. So I feel like that's what I would recommend copywriters use it for, is literally just to see the spatial kind of aspect of it, but not necessarily to design. Cause as you know, designing has a lot of specialized skill.
No, but like, like some headlines are like, you know, 100 pixels, right? Mm-hmm. Like the 100 point. And that's a big chunk of the page, but you don't see it cause you don't even, you're in the Word doc. So you don't even know what it's going to look like. And what it is. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you're right. It can make such a huge difference to see it. It's important to put it in a Word doc. And, it, you know, as writers, it helps just to organize our messages and that kind of thing. But yeah, then to sit down with a designer and see it and lay out and go, that it looked okay in the Word doc. It's way too long here. Right. Or this is, I have to pare this back or anything like that. Yeah.
Well, and I think until we work with a designer, we don't understand hierarchy as copywriters.
Right. That's the other thing. Hierarchy is super important because we can have like, a headline, subheadline, and then body copy, and then maybe even, you know, a little note on the bottom, because that's what I wanted to come up with. Right. But you guys don't know that. So actually a question for you, when you write copy, do you like imagine what it's going to look like? And then when you see our design, you're like, oh, this is not what I expected at all. Like,
oh, this is terrible.
I think it depends. I mean, I definitely feel like there've been times, even probably when you and I have worked together, where you're like, hey, here's kind of the wireframe that I'm thinking. Right. And then that's helpful for me to be like, okay, I can write copy to fit this, or come back to you and be like, hey, I don't think we need this little section because there's not content that fits here. So I think that's best case scenario. I think other times, yes, I'm definitely, having worked with designers more at the start, no way I wasn't thinking like that. But I think as time went on, I was like, ooh, I need to think about the headline being like this and the body copy being like this. And, you know, starting to really try to visualize it in my Word doc, and knowing a line this long across Word is going to be like a paragraph. And so starting to train my brain to know what certain things in a Word doc are actually going to look like. Yeah, that definitely. And then, yeah, inevitably, to your point, maybe you've thought of a different kind of way to organize things, and then we can talk it through and move things around, or maybe you change some of the layout. But I feel like most of the time, it's so helpful to have that initial like rough drafts, almost like outline. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what you're thinking from design. Now let's actually.
Yeah, because all the time, like, you know, you have like three different items on the page, and you want to have like maybe two lines under an icon, and then of course the copy never fits.
So true.
It's either too long, too short, or maybe it's four items instead of three, and that's when the collaboration happens, right?
Yeah,
we didn't talk about what we're doing exactly, but then once we come together, you have a better understanding, I have a better understanding, and a lot of the time, you know, you were right maybe, and then it's fine. Like, the designer is not the god, basically, of the
or bottom. You were right, though, and you, you know, I think sometimes when we condense our copy, it makes it better. It's like, oh, we didn't actually have to say that many words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and part of that great collaboration is because you have that trust between the designer and the copywriter, that the copywriter, the designer can, when it's all in layout and you're sitting down next to each other, or, you know, now virtually, but you're looking at it, the designer can go, you know, this feels a little long to me. I wonder if there's a way to cut or to rearrange. Mm-hmm. And then on that same side, the copywriter can say, you know, I feel like we need more emphasis for this message. Is there a way that we can pump up the importance of this somehow? You know, and neither one is trying to solve the other's, trying to do the other person's job, but that, because there is that, and there should be that element of respect for each other's expertise and skills. But it's one of my favorite things, frankly, about that part of the collaboration is bouncing ideas off of each other and helping each other to take their work, our work, to the next level. Yeah.
And copy is super important. I'm more visual, so I don't read sometimes, and because I just need to, I like look for the keyword, and I'm like, okay, I got it. And that's bad, because sometimes, you know, you have to sign documents and I don't even read what what I'm signing. But what was I gonna say? So like when I present my work, sometimes I don't pay attention to the copy, right? So sometimes I have my whatever I worked on the wrong page, and then people are like, "Oh, is this supposed to be under products?" I'm like, "Oh, no, I guess I just copy and pasted, and I somehow forgot to the nav, you know, to show the nav in the right place." So copying is like super important, and to have the copywriter actually, you know, look back at the design before we present it, they'll probably catch all of the things that I would have missed.
Well, it's so helpful for us because I think, yeah. I mean, you mentioned it earlier, like 100% of the time, things are too long. Like, right. If not 100%, like 99%, it's too long. And then you see it and you're like, ooh, yeah. Like, even if you don't have a design background as copywriters, you're like, no one's going to read that.
Yeah, it's really just good. Just look everywhere, like posters, you know, like at the bus stop, like see how much copy is on the poster. And then you know it's a bad poster when there's like a lot of copy that someone has to read through it just to get the point, you know?
Exactly. Or were you driving past a billboard and you're like, right. I caught three words. That was such a waste of your money. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Now, have there been things that copywriters have done that have, when you've been collaborating with them, things that have annoyed you or things that you wish, obviously it's nothing Kate or I have ever done, or is there anything that you've had to been like, thank you for this, but please do it this way in the future?
I don't think I've had like issues with people. Cause we were lucky to work at where we worked that we took, you know, we actually cared what we did and we always tried and to just have the best product at the end. So collaboration was really key. And we were always on the same page. I don't think I've ever got mad at anyone, like, or annoyed like people, you know. There was never drama over our work. But that's me. I don't know the other team members that you guys work with. But this is for another podcast.
You are a very upbeat, optimistic person. Yeah, exactly. And then so-and-so. I mean, really, actually, at Smarter, for me, as a copywriter, I agree. We had a really great team and we all very much enjoyed each other's company, but also respected each other's skills. Mm-hmm. But I know that at other companies, and I think maybe too, I was going to blame it on on designers being newer to it, but you never did this.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would send along copy and they would trim it before.
Yes.
Without asking me.
And then you get in the creative review and you're like, That's not my copy. I actually had that happen yesterday. Wow. The developer had flowed copy in and then we were reviewing it and I was like, oh, they were like, get rid of this. I'm like, I didn't put that there.
Yeah.
So what did you do, Kate?
I smiled and nodded and I was like, yep, we can absolutely remove that. I wasn't going to throw the developer under the bus who was actually on the client's team.
You can never throw anyone under the bus in reviews.
Exactly.
You deal with it outside of the review.
Yeah.
Because that's very unprofessional.
I slacked our team member and I was like, hey, just so you know, like let the client know, like if you want to, or if not, like let's just move. It wasn't a big deal.
Also, it's really important that the copy is in a digital form so you can copy and paste. So you never have any grammar mistakes or you missed a word or you actually forgot some lines. So that's why it's really important to always copy and paste. And that's what I learned, I think, on day one or two, because I didn't copy and paste. I actually typed it. And Chen was like, what are you doing? Because there were some misspelled words, you know, and it's embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and these are all things that you learn and you make a mistake once and then you...
Right.
You learn. In the scenarios where a designer has, you know, changed my work, I will usually just pull them aside again after the review although really the ideal, and I think we can all agree, the ideal is that everybody gets a chance to look at the work before the review, right?
That's really important too, yeah.
Yeah, and to give yourself adequate time too, not 5 minutes before the review, but like a good hour.
I'm letting the designer know it's coming. Like, hey, let me see this just to make sure, you know, there are areas to improve, and put it as like a positive. To your point, we all wanted it to be the best end product. So reminding them that of like, hey, this isn't on you. I trust you, but I want to see it just to make sure there's nothing I can do on my end to make it better.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And changing somebody's work is just not professional, and it's just not nice.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, and I think that I will chalk it up to inexperience. And in the few times that it's happened, I'll just pull the designer aside and say, hey, you know, I understand if the copy is long, or I understand if you need to make changes to it. But just, you know, I am always available to you. So reach out and I'm happy to make that change myself. Cause you know, same thing. I would never open up Photoshop or open up Illustrator and make changes to your design. So I would, you know, it will behoove us best if you let me make the changes to the copy, since that's my expertise.
Because that's your job, exactly. Like that's not my job, and you're there to do that. That's exactly what you're there for.
And I feel like a lot of times it's just that miscommunication aspect of like the designer probably being afraid, like, oh, I really need to change this, but I don't want to offend the copywriter that I need them to change their copy.
And that's the other thing. Like, it's not your baby. It's the product, marketing, copy, design, and the CEO of the company's baby.
Exactly. It's a collective baby. A collective village. Yes.
And everybody, the more people involved, which is most all the cases, because you don't have just the design and copy. You have the product manager. You have the marketing person. The more it's going to change. So just... No, this is like the business. So now, as a designer, I always try to come up with like 2 to 3. As you know, working with you always had more than one option for copy. But then maybe design B is really good with your copy A. And then, so at least you will be able to use the different copy, you know?
Exactly. Well, and you know, and even if something doesn't get used, what we'll say to our students is like, okay, if you really love it, but you still have to cut it, take it out and save it, because you never know. Like, I know that we've done that with copy, and I know you've done that with design elements where it just doesn't work there.
Right.
But then you can bring it back later.
Right. Or just go to Canva and put it in their portfolio.
Yeah, exactly. Be like, yeah, this is what I would have done if they let me do it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, but those are like some of those unused you know, copy or design, that's exactly what you can do with it. You can make it your own, and you have the freedom to do whatever you want with it.
Well, and there have been some clients or some projects that I've worked with that we get it, the designer and I get into a place that I really like and I really stand behind, and that we take it to the client and they're like, yeah, I want to change it this way and this way of and this course. way, and you're like, here's why we would recommend that. And so, you know, we will execute on what the client wants, but later on I'll go back to the designer and be like, hey, can you get me the creative from 2 rounds ago? And I put it in my portfolio and say, you know, this isn't what ultimately was the client went with, but this is what I recommend it, and here's why. So even if it's something the client does not, even if it doesn't include all the elements the client has or wants, you can still put it in your portfolio.
The classic headline A. I want headline A, but with body B, with option C, something else.
And you're like, okay.
Just hey, we'll Frankenstein it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that happens all the time too, you know? It's like, you literally don't have any ownership when you design or write for somebody else. And that's really important to know. But the collaboration is, like I said, it's like super important. Like, we had so many meetings at work when we, you know, we tried to come up, and they're not even long, they're like maybe half hour long, you know, they're not like annoying. Like, you just sit in the room, you just chat like this, and all of a sudden you come up with a really good idea.
Yeah.
And it's really nice.
Yeah. Really benefit a lot from having additional brains on a project versus just your one. Right. Yeah.
I was gonna say, the more angles you have on the points, like, the more ideas and better ideas you're gonna come up with. Because a lot of the time you just can't come up with all the ideas on your own. Like, you just can't.
Yeah. And too often copywriters, if you like skip that step, that brainstorming step, you're just like, here's the copy designer. But to have that initial like, mm-hmm. oh, wow, okay, this is 10 times easier than staring at a blank page because you already come right. armed then. Both of us, I'm sure you too, you're like, oh, I have an idea now, and go off right. in your corners before you come back again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now, are you going into an office or are you still completely remote right now?
No, completely remote. I've only met my teammates via, you know, Google That's Meet or Zoom or whatever.
So funny.
It's so strange. I'm over it.
I know. I miss actually seeing people. As someone who has been working from home for a long time now, and, yeah. but I do. I miss like, hey, you want to go get a cup of coffee in the kitchen or whatever.
Like you can't. So we're being super, super, super like careful. We only go to the grocery store and that's it. I don't mm-hmm. see my family. I don't see friends. We barely do. We've done like 3 takeouts since March. Mm-hmm. I try not to eat. My last sushi was last February.
That's so sad.
I literally have a budget of like $1,000 for seafood towers after this pandemic is over. And I'm not kidding you. It's going to be oysters and lobsters and seafood towers.
I'm going to have to come up there. And
I know. And I'm also looking forward to the Instagram series.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You'll
be like, I just imagine going and being like, how big can you make this seafood tower?
I'm being serious.
I'm excited.
I know. I'm excited for you.
I'm excited. Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious. I'm going to come crash it.
Yeah. I'm just going to drive on over, get vaccinated, drive on over.
Yeah.
But so how has collaborating virtually been versus collaborating, which right. I think is going to happen so much more now,
yeah.
just so in general anyway.
Yeah, so the role I'm in now, the previous project, we collaborated, you know, online. So we would actually have an open channel on Google Meet, and it was just open all day long, and we would just hop on and off from it as needed. But it's really hard not to do it face-to-face. Like, it's completely different. It's better mm-hmm. to do it face-to-face. I know your students probably work all over the, you know, all over the world, maybe. I don't even know. So they're probably used to it, but
mm-hmm.
yeah. But I am looking forward to going into an office. And even if you know, they change the whole office idea and just go to collaborate, maybe you just go, you know, for like 2-hour meeting, but you can still work from home. But the collaboration is super important. Like, you actually, that's where innovation starts, right? That's where it happens,
mm-hmm.
when you collaborate with people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can obviously you can brainstorm online and you can share screen and you can
right.
look at, although I used to be like, can you just move aside so I can open up and type right. in here directly? Cause I have to think, I write copy yeah. while I type.
Yep.
So right, I can't right. be like, okay, get rid of this line. Okay, so I would have to be like, all right, can you just open up that box? I'm going to type it in here.
Yeah.
But you can share a screen, you can do that kind of thing. But you're yeah. right. There is that it's a different vibe to be in a conference room together, looking at whatever online, right. you know, feet up on a chair and going, what if we did this? Okay. Is this crazy or is this right. good? Yeah.
So luckily the tools are here actually are really good. So you use Figma at work, and Figma, you can have multiple, you know, your teammates in the same file at once. So
oh,
you
fun.
Could
nice.
You can actually, yeah. So you can actually collaborate within the file. You can leave notes, you know, people can edit whatever they want in real time. So it's really nice. And then of course, you know, all the Google Docs, you can edit them in real time. So mm-hmm. it's not that bad. It's just like sometimes the face-to-face, like I was the one in the office that would walk to people's desks and then instead of Slacking them. Cause I just, it's easier for me to say something that takes 10 seconds than to write a paragraph, and then they maybe are too busy to see it. And then when they see it, they're hangry, and then they don't get the point of the the question, then they get mad for no reason.
Who's hangry? I don't know what you're talking about.
But you know that can happen.
No, it's so true. And I know I've told our students this before, but like when I was working in Germany and I would come back to the Smarter Travel office to see you guys, just to have that face-to-face interaction, especially with people I had never met before. You and I had met, but I'll never forget there was one designer who was like, "You're so much shorter in person." And so it was this moment of like funny, but also like, okay, at least now we've had this face-to-face interaction and people know I'm a human. I'm not just, you know, hiding behind the screen. I feel like there is something to that than just, to your point, slacking when someone's right over there.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a lot of steps into the office.
Exactly. Well, that was a big office. The way down to the kitchen was like a track.
Yeah.
Someone head down to be like, "Can you bring me back something? It's so far." Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Well, I think this has been, I know that this has been so insightful, and our students and our listeners and now our viewers, because now we're up on YouTube, are really going to get a lot out of this. So thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with us today. Maybe if you're up for it, we'll bring you back later on for some.
I'm sure people are going to have questions. They're going to be like, "Wait, but
anytime."
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, and if people want to check out your portfolio, do you have a URL for people to check out your work?
It's made by YOAV.com.
Love it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us. If you're open to it, we're totally going to bring you back. And next time, as we were saying, we should have thought this through a little bit better since we're recording this on a Saturday morning. Yes, exactly. We're going to need a little bit more of a brunch situation. So, you know, made by Yoav, drinking with Yoav.
Oh, I like that.
Chatting with copywriters and designers, drinking with Yoav.
Drinking with Yoav.
I'm into it. I will be on every week. Sign me up. All right. Well, Yoav, thank you so much for joining us. And we hope this has been beneficial for everybody tuning in. Yeah. And we'll catch you on the next episode. Bye, everyone. Bye. Thanks so much for joining us on the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. If you liked what you heard, I'd really appreciate it if you could take a minute or two to leave us a 5-star review. I read each one and they mean the world to me and our team. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. And if you want to keep learning, follow us at Filthy Rich Writer across social media and on the site. And of course, if your interest is piqued and you think copywriting might be right for you, check out our free on-demand video training at www.freecopywritingtraining.com. Talk to you next time.